stops and starts.
Oh, right there.
Yeah, it suddenly happened about.
It's June 25th, it's June 5th, 2019, and I call the regular board meeting at the Roland Unified School District Board of Education to order. It is now 4:30 p.m. Dr. Mitchell, will you please do roll call?
Certainly. Carrie Chen.
Here.
Lynn Ebenkamp.
Here.
Angelina Pride.
Present.
David Malkin.
Present.
And Donna Friedman.
Here.
All board members are present.
Thank you. Adoption of the agenda. Are there any changes or items to be pulled from the agenda?
From staff, we wanted to note that there was a correction to the agenda for the board meeting of June 5th, 2019. It's for agenda item 7C, resolution number HR 18-1901, elimination of certain classified services. The attachment was corrected to read hours per day. It was erroneously posted that hours per week. So the attachment that is on the agenda at this time is correct, and that was corrected on Monday.
Okay, thank you. So may I have a motion to adopt the agenda of the regular board meeting of Wednesday, June 5th, 2019, with the correction just said?
I make a motion with the noted correction.
I second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Dr. Mitchell, are there any comments on closed session items?
None have been received.
We will recess to closed session at 4:31 p.m. Good evening. We have returned to open session. It is 6:06 p.m. All in attendance will be led in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag by Yorbita Elementary School student Isaac Rodriguez.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. There is no closed session report tonight. Okay. Next, we are going to move to board recognitions. I am going to turn it over to Dr. Mitchell at this time.
Perfect. Thank you very much. We have a number of students in the audience. It's our pleasure tonight to recognize you for your accomplishments, and I'd ask the board to please come down to the floor and Dr. Zamora to head over to the podium.
We can start. Okay, we're going to go ahead and start. Thank you for being here tonight. We're excited. Our first group of students being recognized are our Diamond Youth Symphony Orchestra, and our director, Jennifer Pack, is here. We would like to thank the high school students from the Diamond Youth Symphony Orchestra who volunteered their time to mentor Roland Unified Elementary students on Sundays. They volunteered to come in an hour before their rehearsal to share their musical expertise. Thank you for your time and dedication to our students. And they are Natalie Din. Nathan Hahn. Daisy Koo. And Vincent Lee. That's Natalie. I'm sorry, that's Daisy. And this is Vincent. Thank you. Next, we are excited to recognize our students who have perfect attendance. The following sixth grade students have attained perfect attendance from kindergarten through sixth grade. So, yeah, that's a big wow. From Killian, we have Allie Wu. From Oswalt, we have Travis Chow. From Shellen, we have Sarah Vin Huang. From Yorbita, we have Guadalupe Plata Rodriguez. And from Hurley, we have Viana Pacheco. We want all of our kids to have perfect attendance. Thank you. Tonight from Roland High School, we're also recognizing their badminton team. And we have our coach, Mike Ortali, here as well, as our school principal, Mitch Brunier. Roland High School competed in badminton for the first time in over 20 years. Two outstanding sophomores finished in the top two at the CIF Southern Sectional, Regional, and State competitions. Please join me in congratulating Joshua Yang, CIF Regional and State Champion. We also have Candace Wong, CIF Regional and State Runner-Up. From Roland High School, we're also honoring tonight 12 members of the Roland High School's chapter of FCCLA, Family, Careers, and Community Leaders of America. They attended the 72nd Annual State Leadership Conference and Competition. Please join me in congratulating team members Audrey G., Anna Ha, Nazneen Hussein, and Emily Twifford. We also want to congratulate our environmental ambassador team, third place team members, Brandon Hernandez, Marlanea Perez, our sports nutrition second place, Diane Chen, Crystal Chu, and Sophia Tay. We also have Chapter Year in Review Participation Award to Cecilia Wong. We have another team to celebrate from Roland High School. We have the boys swim team. Tonight, the boys swim team earned the Valle Vista League runner-up title and received 8 first place individual and relay awards to set new school league records. We want to congratulate them. We have 3 representatives of the team here tonight. Lucas Lau, Victor Long, and Khalib Sun. We're also recognizing the girls' swim team, and 2 of their members are here representing the team tonight. The girls' swim team won their 5th straight Valle Vista League title and had an undefeated season. 4 girls set new league records, and Caitlin Nguyen finished her career with 20 Valle Vista League titles. Alexi Cervantes is here representing them, and so is Vivian Howe. Thank you. Tonight we're also recognizing the boys tennis team from Roland High, and our coach, Janar Orbita, is here. I believe he is here with us. He's coming. He was over there with the team. Valle Vista League title. They finished the season in first place and qualified for the CIF team playoffs. The team also produced 5 first-team all-academic student athletes. Please join me in congratulating Nicholas Long, Bowen Deng, Michael Choi, Justin Chi, Gordon Choi, Matthew Uy, Jeremiah De Leon, Austin Chu, Aaron Lai, Jason Rinaldi, and Christopher Wang. Tonight, we're also honoring the Roland High School track team. 5 Roland High School track team members became Valle Vista League champions in their respective events and went on to become CIA finalists. There are 2 members here tonight representing the track team, and that is Kaysen Gemignano and Jimmy Lay. Please join me in congratulating them.
Thank you, Lynn.
Uh-huh. No. Yeah.
That's duty. That's nice.
Thanks for calling.
It wouldn't stop.
I would like to recognize and thank the Yorbita Elementary School students, parents, staff, and community members for providing the refreshments at tonight's board meeting. Yorbita Elementary School principal, Mrs. Amy Grigsby, along with students Hazel Gunsterblum and Annalise Guzman, will provide a brief report highlighting what is going on at their school.
Okay, good evening, everyone. I would just want to highlight a few things that we are doing at Yorbita Elementary. We are focusing on inquiry, and so one of our goals this year was to really have some student-centered projects. And so There's nothing more than the students presenting and sharing their work. So I want to introduce to you our fifth grade students from Ms. Martin's class at Yerbita Elementary.
Hello, my name is Isaac Rodriguez, and I'm going to introduce the creators of the Kindness Project, Annalise and Hazel.
Hello, my name is Hazel. This year, we started the Kindness Project. Our teacher asked us how we can make a difference in our school, so Annalise and I decided to do the Kindness Project. Students could create a heart when they recognize someone being kind or helping someone else out. We place these hearts in the NPR room so everyone can see them.
I'm going to have you move just up a little bit more so we can hear you because you have so much good things to say. Okay, try it again.
Okay. Hello, my name is Hazel. This year we started the Kindness Project. Our teacher asked us how we can make a difference in our school, so Annalise and I decided to do the Kindness Project. Any student can create a kindness heart when they recognize someone being kind or helping someone else in their school out. We place these hearts in the NPR room so everyone can see them. We pitched the idea to the teachers and they helped us launch our Kindness Project. Today we have two examples of our kindness hearts. One of them is for TK through third grade. And for example, it says Annalise is fun from Hazel. And the second one is for third grade through sixth grade. It says, Hazel is kind because she helped me with my math from Annalise. In the back, it has a graph where students must circle the name of the teacher so we know who to turn it into.
Moving on, lately our project has been very successful. When we introduced our project, it has not been known too much, but now it has been a blast seeing other people recognize people being kind. Now, since me and Hazel are moving on to sixth grade, we were deciding on to pick two more students to make the Kindness Project even bigger than it already is.
This is a poster that we made to put in front of the school so everyone can see that we need to be kind. And we added the golden rule to it because the golden rule is part of our project. The golden rule is to treat others the way that you want to be treated. Okay. Thank you for your time and thank you for listening.
I also want to share that by spreading their kindness, our fifth grade students do have something for the board, so they would like to give a token of their project to you. So.
Can you please come to the front, Amy? Can you bring everybody to come to the front for a picture, please?
There you go. And why don't you hold up your poster for the picture, too? There you go.
On behalf of the board, thank you so much. And fifth graders, you did a great job. What a great thing. Thank you for our stickers. Next is the superintendent's report by Dr. Mitchell.
Great. Thank you very much. Before I formally start my report, I would just like to recognize Mr. Chen sends his apologies. He did join us when our meeting started. However, he was not feeling well, and so he has had to leave the meeting. So we noted that he did not return. For the record, we're noting that he did not return to open session, but he was here at the start of the meeting. And we do hope he gets well very soon. For my report this evening, I wanted to share hot off the press is another set of awards recognizing the achievements in our district. So it's the Honor Roll School Award. So after an extensive analysis of student data for every public school in and school district in the state of California, the Educational Results Partnership and the Campaign for Business and Educational Excellence has awarded 7 Roland Unified Schools as 2018-2019 Honor Roll Schools for their high academic achievement and for improving student outcomes. Congratulations goes to Alvarado Intermediate, Blandford Elementary, Roland High School, Killian Elementary, Shellen Elementary, Oswalt Academy, and Yabara Academy, who are among the 1,000. They're among the 1,831 public schools in California to be recognized. Tomorrow, we look forward to honoring our class of 2019. Tomorrow, there'll be 955 students who will walk across the stage for graduation starting at 5 p.m. It's a lot of hands to shake tomorrow afternoon. So Roland and Nogales High School hold their graduations in their school stadiums, and Santana High School's graduation will be held at the Roland Heights Community Center at Pathfinder Park. We're very excited about our graduating class of 2019, and we are pleased to brag a bit about our grads. So in looking at honoring our students' achievements, Gina Ward and Miriam Kim have been hard at work about our Brag About Our Grads campaign, and the community can look for a special graduation ad in this Sunday's San Gabriel Valley Tribune that will list all of our graduates and the colleges and universities that our students will be attending as a whole. And also be on the lookout for later this month for light pole banners across our community that feature our graduates from Nogales, Roland, and Santana High Schools. Also this summer, our Nutrition Services Department will sponsor once again the Seamless Summer Option Meal Program to everyone in our community ages 18 and younger. Free meals are available at the following school sites starting the week of June 10th. Alvarado, Giano, Hurley, Nogales, Northam, Warmer, Roland Elementary, Santana, Telesis, Yabara, and the East Valley Community Health Center located at Via Corta Elementary. From July 8th to July 26th, there will be meals at Blandford Elementary. So for more information, the public can call our Nutrition Services Department. This is an important service we provide to our community to make sure that our students and our community members, again, 18 years of age and younger, are able to have a seamless summer for a meal program. No sense in delaying. We can mark our calendars and plan ahead for the first day of next school year. We haven't quite finished this one, but the first day of next school year for the 1920 school year is Monday, August the 12th. I also would like to recognize our public information officer, Gina Ward. So in this time of endless awards, ceremonies, and opportunities to highlight the work of our students across the district, Gina is everywhere. So we share a lot of those duties, and you are at the awards nights, the graduation ceremonies. You're split into millions of different pieces running around, and I just want you to know how much we appreciate your hard work, and thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, next we will move to the student board representatives' reports. Santana High School? Not here. Nogales High School?
Not here tonight.
Not here.
Tonight's grad night.
Okay, Roland High School. Lee Young, Roland High School ASB Speaker of the House, will provide a report next. Thanks so much for being here.
Good evening, Madam President, members of the board, Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, and members of the audience. My name is Ariana Zapata, and I am the new ASB Secretary for the 2019-2020 term, who is standing in for Lei Yang because she could not make it today. I look forward to informing you all about the exciting news and progress of Roland High School. Since last meeting, we have started to host many end-of-the-year events. On Friday, May 24th, we hosted the Senior Assembly. The 2019 class mascot was Genie from Aladdin. The theme of the assembly was that Genie is taking Aladdin back in time and is reminded about the times they spent together. Seniors watched slideshows of pictures and videos of themselves during their 9th through 12th grade years, as well as remembered the world events of each year. Our choir, cheer team, roll and dance team, athletes, and ASB members performed their final performances at the assembly. Later that night, we had the Powder Puff game, which was held in the stadium where junior girls and senior girls played against each other in flag football. Although I personally did not participate in the actual game because I'm not the most athletic, I would have to say that watching the amazing girls of Roland High School play was very exciting and empowering. The junior and senior boys got to play the role as cheerleaders and dance in the halftime show. At the end of the game, the seniors won 26-21 in a back-and-forth game. We have many clubs on campus and advisors who watch over our students. To show our appreciation, we held a club luncheon where the club advisor and club president could receive a lunch in honor of all the hard work they do on campus. As 2019 seniors prepare to leave, we prepare for the senior class of 2020. The class of 2020 have held meetings to start organizing their senior year. Because next year's mascot is Mike Wazowski from Monsters, Inc., the 2020 senior officers hosted class meetings to choose what designs to put on in their class t-shirts and sweatshirts. As we are closing off the year, we said goodbye to our seniors on Friday, May 31st. This was the seniors' last day of class, where we held the annual senior sunset. Seniors ate with their peers and recalled their high school memories. They also received a letter they wrote themselves during the senior sunrise in the first day of school. After senior sunset, the seniors could meet in the gym for the senior comedy sports match. This week began our senior events in the gym. Monday, June 3rd, the seniors could participate in different activities, including Mr. 2019, the hypnotist, and the senior talent show. In Mr. 2019, boys compete in pickup lines, beach attire, and makeup skills and dance. This is a popular event as we get to see them in situations we don't normally see. Seniors also had graduation practice on Tuesday and Wednesday and are currently at Disneyland for their grad night. Along with saying goodbye to our seniors, we started our senior countdown, where students are allowed to take pictures with seniors, counting down the days until graduation. Our graduation will be held tomorrow, Thursday, June 7th at 5 p.m. at the stadium. Their graduation theme is, "The days you leave behind are bright, but let the days to come be brighter." As we watch our graduates walk across that stage, we know that as the seniors enter a new stage in their life, their future will be even brighter. We know that they are a better Raider today, as well as achieving the Raider goals of being a thinker, communicator, and contributor.
Thank you, Lee. On behalf of the Board of Education, we want to say we really appreciate you coming and telling us all what's going on at Roland. Thank you. Next, we will have members of the Citizen Bond Oversight Committee will present the 2018-2019 annual report to the Governing Board. I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Mitchell at this time.
Sorry. No, that's perfect. Great. Thank you very much. I want to share this with the board and also let the community know that the annual report, a print copy of the annual report, is also available on the table out front. So it is my pleasure to introduce Mr. Flores, who can share the work that the CBOC did in terms of putting together their annual report.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. At the last CBOC meeting that was led by Natalie Moreno, our chair, the committee gathered together to write the annual report, and they nicely excused all our staff members, and we gladly appreciated that, and we stepped outside so they could independently write this annual report based upon the work of the committee members. So with that, Natalie will present the annual report.
Okay. Our committee consists of 7 members this year. We have Gerald Casterline, who is representing the seniors organization. Miss Wendy Zong and myself represent parent and teacher organizations. And we do have one business owner, Mr. Jay Chung. Taxpayer Association is being represented by Ms. Denise Jackman, and we have two community members, Mr. Nat Ornelas and Ms. Yvette Romo. The Roland Unified District was successful at elections conducted in June 6, 2006, obtaining authorization from the district's voters to issue up to $118 million of the district's general bond obligations, and on November 6, 2012, authorizing the district to issue up to $158 million in general bond obligations. Both are referred to as Measure R. The elections were conducted pursuant to Article 8A, Section 1, Subdivision B3 of the California Constitution, which allows a 55 majority to pass the bond, also known as Proposition 39, and the district is obligated to establish an independent citizens oversight committee in order to satisfy the requirements and accountability for Proposition 39. The purpose of the annual report, pursuant to the bylaws of the CBOC, the committee is charged with the responsibility of preparing regular reports in regards to the activities, and this annual report shall include the following. A statement indicating whether the district is in compliance with the requirements of Article 8A, Section 1B3 of the California Constitution, and a summary of activities for the preceding year. This year, or this past school year, the agendas of the regularly scheduled meetings continue to include current updates related to construction issues, project progress, and a completion and financial updates to provide greater transparency and information to us as the CBOC and the public at large. The CBOC regularly meets with the construction manager from Ledesma Meyer on various phasing plans, construction updates, budgetary matters of the Roland High School project, and at every meeting have been provided the construction and planning, so any potential issues that could arise could be dealt with before they could possibly happen. They have always answered our questions, explained things when we needed further clarification, and always have given us additional information when we've requested it in a timely manner. The CBOC has had training to assist members in becoming more knowledgeable, and this will help the CBOC better serve the community. Training in the Brown Act was provided in September for all new members, and a couple of us members went to the annual Cal Conference in March. A site walk for the completed administration and library building was conducted on March 22nd, 2019. We did most of us attended, the grand opening of the administration and library building at the Roland High School on May 21st, 2019. This year, two of our members, along with the district administrator, attended the 8th annual CalBOC conference in Sacramento on March 25th, day of service. This conference continues to be beneficial to the continual training and growth of the Roland Unified CBOC. The subjects of this year's conference included a keynote address from the California State Treasurer, Fiona Ma, and the disparity of matching funds in socioeconomic deprived areas. One of the founding members of the CalBOC, and she is also a member of the Little Hoover Commission, recommended that Mr. Alex Flores get an award. He has consistently been an administrator that goes to the meetings. And currently, for the past few years, we are the only school district in Los Angeles County that attends this conference. The committee continues to use the customized reporting features of the Colby Financial Reporting System. These customized reports are provided at every meeting, and we can always change them whenever we request. The CBOC chair was present and partook in the interviewing process for the construction management and contract for the Oswald Academy project. Interviews were conducted on December 4th, 2018. The CBOC has met with the architects from Ziema and Prieto, to walk through drawings and receive answers to our questions for their architectural renderings of the new project at Oswald. CBOC members attended a stakeholder meeting at Oswalt with teachers and community members to when their school design was presented there. They had all of their questions answered. And the main thing that they seemed to... And that was on March 4th. The only thing that we recommend is to continue with the trainings, especially for new members. And the accountants of NIGRO and NIGRO sought the board oversight's input for their fiscal audit for 2018. The bond audit and interviewed with me. The CBOC has received the completed audit. NIGRO and NIGRO did not identify any deficiencies in the internal control over compliance that they were considered to be of material weakness. All in all, based on the information that we have seen in the past year, we can state that the district is in compliance with the requirements of Article 8A, Section 1B3 of the California Constitution. And so I don't have to wait a whole year because it has kept me up. Last year, I forgot. I would like to say thank you to Aubrey Craig, who has always had everything with Rosanna McLeod. Oh, you're here. Hi, Rosanna. And the day of the interviews, I have never seen a woman hustle the way she hustled. We interviewed numerous companies, and it was just back to back to back. Alex, obviously, Marcos, and Josefina Sandoval, who's not here, for giving me every help, every resource or help I need in getting things done and put together for our meetings. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of the Board of Education, we just want to thank you for that and all that information. It's very helpful. David?
On behalf of the board also, I want to thank Ms. Moreno for chairing that committee and for the others for their volunteer service. It takes a lot of time away from your family, especially at nighttime when you have young ones that need to go to school the next morning or families to feed. So I really appreciate you donating your time for that service. The other thing is, was there any questions or requests for materials that you had during the year that weren't answered, or did you get everything that you needed? Okay, thank you.
Okay, next we will have two staff reports. The first will be on the 2019-2020 LCAP. I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Mitchell at this time.
Perfect, thank you. I'm going to ask Dr. Brian Huff to come to the podium, and while he is walking in this direction, just want to share that tonight there is no action being taken on the LCAP. This is an opportunity for staff to share a report to the board and to the community, and then there will also be a public hearing this evening, and we're asking the board to take action at our next meeting on June 18th. Dr. Huff has done a masterful job in terms of really, again, expanding the input from our community, significantly increasing student voice in this development of the 1920 LCAP. So there have been significant students who've provided input to this, as well as community members, parents and non-parents in the district, and staff as a whole. And then not only working with all of our constituents, but then working with staff to actually write the report, which exceeds 200 pages. So I wanted to, before you even started, just to thank you for your leadership. And the floor is yours.
Okay, so tonight officially is the public hearing for the first reading of the LCAP, and then we will come back on June 18th to recommend the approval by the Board of Education of the LCAP for the 1920 school year. Just as a reminder, as we've gone through the process every year, in January we started collecting feedback from all of the stakeholders, and in April we provided an update to the board on the 18-19 LCAP outcomes, and today here we are at the public hearing for year three of the three-year LCAP plan. So 1920 will be our year three, and then we'll spend next year writing a new three-year plan. And then June 18th, we'll come back for to recommend approval by the board. As Dr. Mitchell mentioned, we had extensive outreach to the community, and this year with a focus on student voice. So we wanted to try to amplify students in the process, so we were able to collect input from over 5,300 students in grades 5 through 12, and then focus groups in 10 schools. And you can see the list of also the meetings that we hosted that we've done for the last 3 years from the community, and had a great turnout at all of those meetings that they provided feedback on what's working, what isn't working, and what they wanted to see. And then in April, if you recall, we gave you an update on the outcomes from this year from the perspective of the student, parents, and staff. So how was the LPAC, the actions that you approved, the resources you allocated, how were those actions impacting students? So we provided that information to you in April. And one of the sections, as you read through the draft that we provided, or the LCAP that we provided, is our greatest progress. So the state asks us to identify outcomes that we identify as our greatest progress. And so I've listed those here. And so, for example, in Roland, we increased our Saturday exploration, our extended learning opportunities, by 62% this year. And I also have some of the dashboard and survey items that that you have also seen already. Under academic performance, one of the things we're proud of this year is being able to close the Anytime Anywhere learning gap with students. So the low-income students in grades 9 through 12 who now have access to 24/7 learning online with Chromebooks and Wi-Fi access points. In our area of college readiness, our outcomes, you can see the outcomes that that we have identified as our greatest progress. And just to highlight, again, our increase in AVID enrollment over the last 5 years, 177%, and the outcome of 92% of those students who are enrolled in AVID being accepted to four-year colleges or universities. And I just today got the numbers from, this is 2018, so 2019 numbers is 101 AVID students graduating, 92% of them were also accepted this year to four-year colleges or universities starting in the fall. In the area of school climate, we rolled out a new survey this year, and we're happy to see that 85% of the students feel safe at school in grades 5 and 6. And then also we rolled out a digital citizenship curriculum that built the capacity in students to understand what are good behaviors online that we want to share with you and build. So understanding online safety, privacy, and behavior expectations online. So every student this year for the first time participated in those three lessons. We also recognize, and this is also a part of the LCAP, the areas that are still in our needs, our greatest needs areas. And so I've listed here all the areas that we list that are in the red or orange in our dashboard overall, on the dashboard, and that we've used to then inform how we update our LCAP for next year that we'll get into in a second. So all of this whole process of listening and looking at the outcomes and then doing an extensive listening process the last 4 or 5 months was to really try to whittle down and identify what changes do we need to make for LCAP next year. And so with the direction of the LCAP Council, which had a representation from across all stakeholders, and Ed Services team, we reviewed all of that data and the outcomes, and then are recommending these changes to you. We've included this in the LCAP for your review, and we're recommending you approve it for the June 18th board meeting. So first, adding a lead counselor. And this counselor, this position, would lead and calibrate counseling services for students, including academic, social, and emotional. There continues to be feedback, both positive and areas for growth around tutoring services. So we're recommending that you approve an increase in funding for site-based tutoring, including Homework Club, at all of our sites. The third change would be adding 3 behavioral specialists, and this would be a teacher on special assignment position, and these 3 positions would be part of the BEST team. And then the fourth one is, as we continue to evaluate the implementation of PBIS, identify the strengths, and also listen to sort of what next step should be, we've identified calibrating all sites on Tier 3 PBIS support. So these are the strategies and actions that sites would use to support the high needs behavior, students that are exhibiting high need behavior needs. And then the last one on this slide is increasing parent education on college readiness. The parents that participated in the program validated the parent education that's going on, but they would like to see more around how do you get into college? How do I help my student apply for a student? How do I, you know, help them get financial aid? This training is already happening in many different pockets, but they've asked to sort of to amplify that as we go into next year. And then another request from the parent groups has been to add translation services for languages other than Spanish, Chinese, and Korean through a variety of sources. So that is something that we're looking at and planning for to add for next year. Adding social emotional services to K-6 schools. So this would include adding 2 days a week of services for our K-6 schools, plus a 24/7 hotline that students could then access. The next one is a required action anyway, but it's been covered by LACO for the last 3-4 years. Transportation services for foster youth. So we are now going to be adding the half of the cost of that into the LCAP fund action plan, with the other half being funded through LACO. And then the final change that we're recommending you approve is adding an onboarding bridge summer program for incoming 7th and 9th graders. So if you recall, as we looked at some of that student data, the student survey data, there was a dip happening at 9th grade and then a dip happening at 7th grade. So part of the action that we're recommending is to include a bridge program that prepare those students as they transition from K-6 to 7-8 and then from 7-8 to high school. So throughout the listening process, we also heard a lot of validation in the actions that have been going on. So as you read through the LCAP for this year, you'll notice a lot of the actions are staying the same because looking at the outcomes and also looking at the feedback, there has been a lot of positive feedback. So I'm just going to go briefly through each of the goals just to remind us what the key actions from each goal are in terms of funding. So what I have listed here are the actions in each goal that have the biggest allocation of resources, along with any of the changes that I just went over. So they're kind of folded in together. So for example, we continued to hear this year, as we have in years past, that the instructional coaches are a key part of the instructional process. As you remember from the student survey, our top 3 responses from students really validated some of that shift in teaching, student voice, and students sharing their ideas and sharing their thinking. That is a result of instructional coaches being in the classroom and modeling what they're learning and the professional learning. And that is a research-based practice. So that it's not only research, but we're hearing from stakeholders that is something to continue. And you can see the other actions that will remain. And goal two is our college and career readiness action. And so in Roland, we have one of the lowest counseling to student ratios in the area, and when we compare it to the state, so that is an allocation that has paid off, as we heard from students that they feel like they have access to them. Something we want to continue to improve, but we definitely see the outcomes of that. And then you see the change in adding a lead counselor here, the bridge program, and then increasing courses and program participation. So all of these three programs will continue to expand, either in courses, for example, in career and technical education, adding a restaurant management program next year. And then also, look at my notes here, sports medicine will be added next year as well. So those two programs, among others, and expanding AVID enrollment, and then Project Lead the Way. Goal three, around communicating and collaborating. So this is where we're adding the translation support for languages other than Spanish, Chinese, and Korean. Increasing parent education around college readiness, and then maintaining our robust communication, which also got a lot of positive feedback from parents. They get the phone calls, they get the messages from Gina, they definitely feel like they're in the loop on what's happening in the district. And goal four, our fiscal responsibility, so providing the ongoing maintenance at all the sites, access to technology, the focus on our learning environments, and then continuing with our digital equity program, which will continue into year two next year, and bringing in all the students who are coming up from eighth grade and making sure that they have access to internet at home as well. Goal five, which is our student and staff safety and wellness program, which is where our PBIS action is going, our behavioral specialists, social emotional services, and then maintaining our health staff across all sites. Maintaining our FRC staffing, this is where the foster youth transportation change will go, and maintaining our school safety staff. And then goal six, there weren't many changes recommended for goal six. The biggest item is maintaining staff, and then all the leadership training that is provided, both certificated and classified, and all the recognition and celebration that I also got a lot of kudos from parents in the community. As we wrap up here, the two things that are new this year. So as you look at this version of the LCAP, there is a new section at the beginning. We are required now to provide a parent budget overview. And this parent budget overview asks us to show in very clear and simple graphs and language where the money's going. And so you can see that summarized at the beginning of the LCAP this year, starting this year. And then we were also required to consult with our SELPA to make sure that the actions that we included for special needs students are included and consistent with the annual assurances and support plan. So Dr. Tinkamp and I met with the SELPA director on March 11th and May 29th in fulfillment of that new requirement. And she had offered her support and approval of the actions that we had included in the program. So again, as we wrap up tonight on June 5th, this is our public hearing. In a moment, you'll have a public hearing around this draft. And then on June 18th, we will come back and ask you to approve the LCAP for the 19-20 year. And I'd like to take this chance to also just thank all the parents that came out to all the community meetings, the 5,300 students that responded to the surveys and took time, 180 students that took time to meet with us one-on-one and focus groups. And then fiscal services really is a team effort, fiscal services. So Aubrey and Corey really did an amazing job of taking the LCAP actions and then matching it with Alex Flores and matching that to the budget, which you'll hear in a minute. So it was a coordinated effort, and then the Ed Services team and all the site leadership too in helping in that. So just want to, so it's a team effort in doing this. So just want to thank you, thank everybody for all their hard work on this.
First of all, thank you for the report. Very informative, very concise, but it hit every point. So I appreciate that. I just wanted to make one comment on goal two with the onboarding of the Bridge Summer Program for incoming seventh and ninth graders. I'm very excited to see that, and I can't wait to see what develops out of that. As I've also seen lots of data and read lots of articles about those dips that take place during those transitional years. So I'm excited about that, as well as the lead counselor positions and several other things in here too. But that one definitely caught my eye, so I appreciate that that's being looked at and included. And thank you again for all your hard work in putting this together.
Mm-hmm. Lynn?
For the parents who wanted more translation services, what languages are they asking for?
I don't recall the actual, like Farsi, you know, these, we have 49 languages, I think, that are representing the language in the district. We're required to provide translation for languages that are represented by 15% or more. And then so all of those other languages that are not at 15%, yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to have a baseline number to want to serve.
Right.
Obviously, you can't have a language for every child. Mm-hmm. Regarding the Bridge program that Angelina asked about, besides the bridging to get them ready for middle school and high school, do you think academically we need to do a short summer session before school starts for them or anything of that nature? Would that be helpful to get them ready for the next levels?
There is an academic summer school program that happens at both of those levels.
And they're encouraged to go, especially if they're moving up? Okay.
If I can answer that, the Bridge program actually includes academics. We wanted to make it also inclusive of getting to know your new environment and new faces, teachers, counselors, people that are going to be with you as you come on board to seventh grade or ninth grade. And so it's not just getting to know your environment, but also academics.
Thank you.
Under goal two, on page 9, the college and career readiness overall declined 3.8%. Mm-hmm. Those items you have under goal 2 on page 13, the Bridge program and lead counselor, is that to address that decline? Or is there other things that need to be done in order to
it's address part of that? It, and I'll turn over to Maddie.
It will help with that. The intent is to make sure that we are supporting our high schools in a unified manner, and that our counselors are also receiving the support that they need with regards to the new state requirements and the mandates that we have on us, so that we're all going in the same direction and see what it is that we need to do to gain back that loss. I also know if Brian can explain that some of that loss is due to a new way that the numbers were calculated.
Right, so there was a change in the calculation of the CTE pathway, and so that had a ding across the state. Okay. And so it's a continuing changing calculation. But like I mentioned in the first part, the 49% is still higher, much higher than the state, and much higher than most of our surrounding districts. So,
okay. Then also on page 9, we talk about greatest needs. Four of those out of the six, students with disabilities, students experiencing homelessness, English learners, and foster youth. On page 16, is this? Yeah, page 16 for goal 5. It says maintain district-wide. Goal 5, page 17, maintain Family Resource Center staffing. It seems like four of the six have the greatest needs, but we're maintaining the staffing at Family Resource Center. You don't see a need to increase that staffing or change anything there?
So there actually that should say increase, because there's some actions that we included, like the social emotional support that will be provided to K-6 schools is actually an increase. And I'm going to ask Laurel, there are some other actions too that were added from FRC.
Since you're not at the mic, in terms of looking at it, they came under different goals. Okay. But the base staff with community liaisons, the coordinator, the community input was not to, they want to make sure that the FRC continues to stay vibrant and serving the needs of the community. But when you look in other areas where we have added things, they have been to address some of these areas that you're talking about on page 9, and also some of the pieces that are here are academic indicators, not necessarily social emotional indicators that the Family Resource Center is so well versed in. So like when you look at students with disabilities, that was an academic piece. Okay. And so we're addressing that in goal 1. When you look at students experiencing homelessness, that was around suspensions, and that was addressed then in goal 5, because we're talking about our behavior specialists and so forth in terms of intervening in that way. Looking at English learners, was another piece there, was academic, as well as graduation rate, which was some of those pieces are being addressed with that lead counselor. So they're coming in different places.
Thank you, Brian, Dr. Huff, for that report.
Thank you for being so thorough, Dr. Huff. We really appreciate it. Excellent report. Thank you. That's it? Yeah, no more questions.
Good report. Okay.
Next, we will have a staff report on the proposed 2019-2020 RUSD budget. I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Mitchell at this time.
Perfect. So I'm going to ask Alex Flores to come to the podium to share with the board information regarding the budget. And as he's getting ready, the LCAP says in words what our budget says in numbers. And so it's intended that these would be presented together, and then on the 18th that they're adopted together. And so Alex is ready.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. Board President Friedman, Vice President Melkem, board members, Dr. Mitchell, cabinet, and audience, thank you for allowing me to make a presentation on the 19-20 budget. This year, I would like to start things a little different. I don't want to take the time to thank Aubrey Craig, nor do I want to highlight Corey Duran. I easily could, because their leadership and detail to this process was instrumental. I want to thank the entire fiscal department. I want to thank the purchasing department, school site secretaries and principals who manage their site budgets. All the information we gather during the year makes this budget. Thank you to the department leaders who manage their budgets and are fiscally prudent. So much happens behind the scenes, but we just see and hear my presentation. I want to thank them, because their work makes this presentation happen. They're doing their part. Thank you to everyone here. So much so that I already have old news in my presentation. Hot off the presses, we were just awarded today a grant that the Transportation Department, the Operations Department, Fiscal Department, of course, Dr. Mitchell, work together so we can secure 10 electric buses, over $3.3 million, and over $60,000 per bus, or $600,000 for infrastructure that we can also take a look at and use for solar, so that we can have some savings when it comes to our buses in the future. So we're always working and we're always looking to improve our environment, and also to save costs. In this presentation, we will highlight budget calendar, local control funding formula, the 1920 revenue and expenditures, and the multi-year projections. As we know, the budget is a living document, and the budget cycle is in a process that is constantly in motion. As you can see, we're here to share the budget and LCAP for the next fiscal year. The next step will be to approve the budget at our next board meeting, along with the LCAP. The budget cycle has two cycle years that are always crossing over. The audit process, again, the independent audit process, has begun for the school year 18-19, which will be finalized this year after unaudited actuals have been presented and approved to the board. Again, as background information, in 2013, Governor Brown established a new distribution system for K-12 public school funding called Local Control Funding Formula, or LCFF. The change came after 40 years of using revenue limit calculations where student populations were not taken into consideration. LCFF is designated to target funds to students impacted with lower socioeconomic status, English learners, and foster youth. Under LCFF, all students generate a base grant. Those students who are impacted receive a supplement grant, which is equal to 20% of the base grant. In addition, districts like Roland, who have large populations of targeted students, are defined by the state as a district with an unduplicated percentage above 55%, which receive a concentration grant, which is equal to 50% of the base. RUSD has an unduplicated count percentage of 76.24% for the 1920 school year. This slide illustrates our target for implementation of our funding, but things change along the road. And in 18-19, we were 100% fully funded. Those are the red lines compared to the blue lines. And this year, we should have had 74% of our funding. So in other words, this is the first year that we're fully funded. So let's take a look at the 18-19 school year in which LCFF reached fully implementation. We received $9.6 million in additional revenue compared to the 17-18 school year. $6.4 million was due to receive 100% of LCFF gap funding. The $9.6 million was spent on various ongoing expenditures totaling $5.1 million and one-time expenditures of $4.4 million. Having backward planned several years ago, these one-time expenses acted as a set-aside for future liabilities like PERS and STIRS. Again, we would like to thank the board and Dr. Mitchell for the much-needed one-time purchases that were made this year, and also for finding a way for securing a way to pay future liabilities. In this portion of the presentation, we will share the 1920 proposed budget by sharing the revenue, expenditures, and unrestricted and restricted funds. Unrestricted revenue for 1920 is projected to be a little over $126.1 million. $112.2 million is the LCFF base funds. $28.4 million is LCFF supplemental and concentration. Combined, it's $140.6 million. $2.8 million is other state funds. $1.2 million is local revenue. And $18.6 million is removed from this and contributed to the restricted side for the encroachment. We would like to dive further into the LCFF base revenue calculations in this slide. While it might seem like 3.26% COLA would lead to a large increase in revenue, the decline in enrollment factor eats up most of the increases. When you look at the increase due to COLA only, there's a total increase of $3.3 million. But after factoring in decline enrollment, a decrease of 288.24 ADA, equaling $2.3 million, the difference is only an increase of $980,000 in LCFF revenue for 1920. In this slide, we show the difference in revenue from the 1819 school year to 1920. For the LCFF base, we have an increase of $980,000, which is the difference between the increase of COLA and decline enrollment, as I just shared in the previous slide. State revenue is decreasing by $2.4 million due to the reduction of one-time funds in 1920. The governor took the position to increase COLA and stop the one-time expenditures, which we appreciate because that means that future going forward, we can count on those funds because we'll be funded at that level the next year. Other local revenue is projected to decrease by $184,000, and our encroachment to restricted programs is increasing by $621,000. Overall, the district will decrease by $2.2 million in revenue. What happened to that COLA? That's what a lot of districts are saying throughout the state, because many of the states are similar to us and are declining in enrollment. And the COLA that is being offered is not enough to make up for the difference in decline enrollment. So we hear about AB 39, which is some legislation to increase the base funding across the board. We hear about split roll tax, which will increase the commercial property tax with a 60-40 split, with cities and getting 60%, 40% for school districts. We hear about the school board association legislation that are introducing legislation to introduce a new millionaire's tax to help fund schools. We just recently heard a parcel tax that LA Unified tried to pass and which was defeated yesterday, where they're asking voters to support a parcel tax to support the increases that they just negotiated in the past contract. Again, districts facing declining enrollment and increased costs, COLA isn't enough. And there's much discussion at the state level to help increase funding for our schools. The unrestricted general fund expenditures are projected to be a touch over $128.8 million, with a little over $110 million related to employee salaries and benefits. So in the graph, we can see that 88% of our revenue, our expenditures, are based on personnel. That includes classified, certificated, statutory expenses, statutory benefits, and medical benefits. Understanding that the board has an interest to reduce the burden of the rising medical costs for our employees, along with the knowledge that we have slipped from the county median, we took a sharp pencil to the 1920 budget in order to use the district's unrestricted funds in the most efficient way possible. This took a tremendous undertaking of the fiscal department, in which they were able to analyze differences between budget and actual expenditures amounts to identify areas of savings, including a reduction to our budget for legal fees. We also were able to reduce our worker compensation fees and apply the STIRS and PERS lower employer contribution rate. Finally, we also will be using restricted funds to provide professional development for the next 2 days for next year. After that sharp pencil, we project expenditures will be below our revenue with an ending balance growth of $3.3 million, leaving an ending balance of $3.4 million. Please note the ending fund balance is subject to change once the books are closed due to actual expenditures and do not include any collective bargaining agreed upon settlement. Again, our ending balance is $34.4 million. And a majority of the ending balance has been assigned in different areas. There is the following: instructional program, STIRS PERS, emergency disaster safety, technology, equipment replacement, and decline enrollment. Restricted funds are received for a specific use and must be spent in that manner to be compliant with applicable rules and regulations. We project $44.4 million in 2019-20. Again, I would like to highlight that $18.6 million will come from our unrestricted general funds. expenditures are projected to be $46.4 million, with a bulk of these funds, $33.5 million for salaries and benefits. We are projecting deficit spending in the restricted general funds by $2 million in 1920. Again, general these restricted funds are sometimes federal funds, and they have a different fiscal calendar. So this is very common that there is some deficit spending at times. Along with the 1920 budget, we will also submit the multi-year projection budget for approval on June 18th. Here are the major assumptions used to develop the multi-year projections for the district. As you can see, decline enrollment has been factored into revenue calculations. We are also receiving a 3.26 COLA, which decreased from the original 3.46 projection at the second interim. We also used the lower STIRS employer contribution rate in our multi-year projections. The assumption for step and column is 1%. But just so you know, the actual increase for certificate alone, because our friend Corey looked at every single certificated member and analyzed from this year to next year, is $743,000. The unrestricted multi-year projection shows that we will remain fiscally solvent for the next 2 years. Although I need to emphasize, in the interest of being transparent with both associations, some reductions are being made in order to maximize the amounts that can be utilized for any possible settlement agreement and to avoid deficit spending in the next 2 years. For the 2021 school year, we are showing a reduction of 12 teachers, and for 21-20, a reduction of 8 teachers. There is also an adjustment for classified salaries. Please note, we estimate that we're 26 teachers overstaffed at this time. These projections show an additional 200 less students, and that's why we're reducing 12 and 8 teachers. There is also a possibility of CalPERS employer contribution rate for 1920 will decrease. We have used the current rates for our projections. If reduced, these will significantly help the district remain in a strong fiscal position, as these costs have a continuous impact on the district's budget. Before I address any questions, I'm proud to share this budget tonight because it reflects and addresses the needs of our district, supporting our students and valued team members in a responsible way.
Lynn?
I, as one of these board members, along with the rest of the board, were very concerned about the needs of the teachers when they came to the meeting complaining about student behavior in their classrooms. And they asked that we address that. And it looks like in your budget you have addressed some of those needs.
Yes, actually, on slide 6, we share the additional expenditures for the 18-19 school year. And there is a light item for the new behavioral intervention positions of $256,000. And as Dr. Huff also shared in the LCAP, the three additional behavior specialists are also included in the next year's budget as well.
Okay, thank you for addressing that in the budget.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing under what changes were made based on outcomes and feedback, add social emotional services to K through 6, and that was the teachers that were here were the elementary school teachers that expressed that concern. So it's nice seeing the two dovetail into each other.
I have another one. I wasn't quite finished. Lynn? Sorry. On one of the pages where you talked about the ending balance for this year or for going into next year between $3 and $4 million, is that right? The X is, I don't even know what page it is. Sorry. Too many pages.
Yeah. I'll make it shorter next year.
That's all right. One page is good.
We're talking. Are we?
It had to do with the reserves.
Are we talking about the assignment of the budget of the ending balance, the reserves? Was it page 15 or?
Was it $3 to $4 million? Was it in that ballpark? That's what's available.
That's what's available. Yes.
Now, okay. Then my question about that is, can we just spend that money?
Yes. That's what is available. We took a real sharp pencil to look at everything to come up with that amount and not affect any programs, not take anything away from our students, not take anything away from supplies, but to be very transparent and at the table to say this is what's there. Again, if there's no settlement, if it's not all needed, then we can come back and look to see what other services or whatever things we would like to be able to use it.
And those expenses would be for one-time expenses, not for ongoing, usually?
That ending balance is from ongoing. So this would be an ongoing expenses could be occurred with that.
Good.
The reduction in staffing, is that going to be taken care of by natural attrition, retirements, et cetera?
That's what the trend. That's what we have done, and that's what we would like to do.
I just have a comment. Your department and you, Mr. Flores, worked so hard to find that money, to figure it out and all that. And I just want to thank you for a thorough report and all the hard work that you and your department do.
My department is the greatest, but also this is a cabinet discussion also involving all stakeholders. I do want to also compliment Dr. Huff, working with Corey and Aubrey almost on a daily basis, looking at things and analyzing how much are we really spending, how much can we spend, where can we provide more services. So it really is a team effort, mm-hmm. And with the common mission of doing the most for our students.
Thank you very much.
And just one more comment is that it's so helpful to the board that you'll spend extra time answering our questions and going over things, because the better we understand the budget, the better everybody is.
It's a pleasure.
So the money didn't just magically appear on your desk.
We wish it did.
Thank you.
You worked hard to get that money. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, for a great report. Dr. Mitchell, are there any comments this evening? Please note the public is welcome to provide comment to the board. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended or limited by vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board is allocated for each subject discussed. The Brown Act open meeting regulations under which the board must operate do not allow board members to comment on non-agenda items or information you may bring up that are not in the agenda. Additionally, no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a comment. Roy Humphreys.
Thank you for all the good things you do. But here we are in the swamp of a moral ethical depravity with Natalie Moreno and Denise Jackman still being allowed to access this district in spite of being outed by their own hand and as had been presented on my YouTube channel and to this district board. And noted that the also violations of law, to which we can only hope that in the future the board and administration will be held accountable. I would summarize the education system as being a dirty business, noting Montebello, Pico Rivera, being referred to the district attorney's office for prosecution. The Los Angeles Unified's president have been charged with 3 felonies, Penn State, USC, Southern State teachers systematically changing scores. Most recently, Southern California School District being referred to the state for being audited on their use of bond funds to $200 million on that. The key issue is that many of these cases, the highest levels of management and governance had knowledge and duty to but said nothing and did nothing so as to preserve and protect the image of the institution as corrupt and vile as it may be at all costs. And as President Trump stated, these are nasty people. We also note that going to publish a list of videos that I've done from the board here over the times, and one of which was very unique. We had Harry Peterson, who was head of the Bond Oversight Committee there, and all these board members say, "Hey, Harry, what a magnificent job you did, yada, yada, yada," but he did not garner a certificate of appreciation upon his departure. And then we noticed Mr. Malcolm this evening talking to Natalie Moreno about freedom acquisition. Evidently, he has forgotten, and his lawyer didn't advise him that the word shall in 15280 is of significance, and what has been done is an obvious attempt at frustrating and obstructing the people's access to data and information in violation of the purpose, intent, and spirit of the law. And these are quasi-public officials that we're dealing with here also. And don't forget, folks, the only way we can move forward is to be honest about our past. And it's all you had to do is take over the video recording into the 21st century. No one would ever known any of this. Thank you.
Kelly Danahan.
Mr. Humphreys, as Kelly is approaching the podium, you mentioned that there's violations of law and reference that being done by our school district. I respectfully request that you provide that information to me.
A little shorter. Hi, my name is Kelly Denahan. I came today to say thank you to the board for their tireless work over the years. I know it's not easy. I see you guys everywhere in the district, and I know I'm only seeing a fraction of the places that you go. I'd like to also thank all the committee members. We have so many committees that keep this district running for our children, and it's volunteers that are doing that work, and they're doing it after their own jobs, in between running kids here and there and feeding their families. I, being an alumni of this district and being in my third generation of people in my family going to this district, I, as a community member, am very saddened to see the attacks in social media against our board members, against our committee members, against our staff members. It saddens me. It's not a kind heart, as the Orbita students said earlier. It's not a great example of what we should be as a community or a whole, and it's not a good example of our students. But you guys are, and I see you, and I thank you all for that behavior. I'm sorry that Mr. Roy Humphreys has ran a YouTube channel that has racially slurred certain people, has just had atrocities said about all of you. It is very sad, and it breaks my heart that is going on. But I want you to know that the community and our children thank you for your tireless work. And I'm so happy that I've seen you guys rise above such nastiness, and I know, and I see your big, kind heart and all the work you do. Whether it's paid staff in our district or it's the volunteers, we're all here for our kids, and we're all doing a lot of work for them. And I know sometimes it's hard to remember when people are hurling things at you in public, but we see you, the community sees you, and we love you. Thank you.
Next, we have three public hearings. The first public hearing is to receive input from members of the public regarding the Roland Unified School District Special Education Local Plan Area SELPA Local Plan, including annual budget and service plan for the 2019-2020 school year. As a single district, SELPA, the Roland Unified School District, must adopt the annual local plan, including budget and service plan, in accordance with state and federal requirements. Attached is the district's SELPA budget and service plan for the 2019-2020 school year. The district is required to hold a public hearing related to the SELPA local plan, including budget and service plan, for the upcoming school year before June 30th of each year. Any member of the public who would like to provide comment on the 2019-2020 SELPA plan is invited to do so during this public hearing. Public hearing opened at 7:39 p.m. Since no one came forward, the public hearing is closed at 7:39 p.m. Next is a public hearing to receive input from members of the public regarding the RUSD Local Control and Accountability Plan, LCAP, including the specific actions and expenditures proposed in the draft LCAP plan, or to be included in the LCAP or annual update to the LCAP. Any member of the public who would like to provide comment on the draft 2019-2020 LCAP plan is invited to do so during this public hearing. The public hearings opened at 7:40 p.m. Okay, no public comments, so the public hearing is closed at 7:40 p.m. The next public hearing is to receive input from members of the public, the proposed 2019-2020 Roland Unified School District fiscal year budget. Any member of the public who would like to provide comment on the proposed 2019-2020 fiscal year budget is invited to do so during this public hearing. Public hearing opened at 7:41 p.m.
As both alumni and a parent of the school district, I'm very grateful to see the school district board and the school district itself utilizing technology where it can assist in climate. Our children will be dealing more and more with electric cars. We're trying to go more and more less fossil-based in our energy uses. And the fact that that's a priority and is being looked at constantly by this district makes me proud to have been from here and to have my children going here.
Okay, me next. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you correct me if I'm wrong, if I got information from Mr. Alex over here, that about these teachers and their excess baggage. And I know it's not a nice thing. People don't like you have excess teachers. If I got that right, did I hear that correctly? No, you didn't. You didn't? I didn't. That wasn't correct. Because overstaffed. To do the most prudent thing, if I understood this correctly, and Mr. Malcolm asked, "Well, are you going to do this by attrition?" If they're excess, they need to be jettisoned now. That's the fiscal prudent thing to do. Thank you.
Public hearing is closed at 7:42 p.m. We will move on to the discussion action items on the agenda. The first item is 7A. May I have a motion and a second to approve the course High School Bridge for incoming high school students?
I make a motion.
I second.
Any questions or discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 7B. May I have a motion and a second to approve the Roland Adult Education courses for the 2019-2020 school year?
I make a motion.
I'll second.
Any questions or discussion? Okay, those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Aye. Motion carries. The next item is 7C. May I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number HR 181901 to eliminate certain classified services due to lack of work and or lack of funds?
I make a motion.
I second.
Any questions and discussion? I want to ask Dr. Mitchell to give us more information on this, please.
I'm happy to answer any specific questions that the board might have. I think one of the things that it's important to note of the list that's there, most of these positions are currently vacant. There's one position title, and there are three employees filling that position that is currently there, and Mr. Bixler and our Personnel Commission staff, as well as our CSEA, have been working very closely with those individuals. But the vast majority of these positions are currently vacant.
Any other comments or questions?
Yeah, I just want to thank Mr. Bixler and Dr. Mitchell for treating these employees with humane way and planning ahead so we don't have to have layoffs, but we can transition into it by planning in the future. Thank you.
Okay, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 7D. May I have a motion and a second to approve the contract agreement between the Roland Unified School District and Keenan and Associates Protected Insurance Program for Schools Joint Powers Authority, PIPS?
I move.
I'll second.
Any questions or discussion? Those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 7E. May I have a motion and a second to approve the contract agreement between the Roland Unified School District and Keenan and Associates Southern California Relief?
I move.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? Those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 7F. May I have a motion and a second to adopt a resolution AS-1920-01, Annual Delegation of Administrative Authority to Process Routine Budget Revisions, Adjustments, and Transfers for Fiscal Year 2019-2020?
I move.
I'll second.
Any questions or discussion? Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 7G. This is for discussion only regarding the 2019-2020 school year, overall goals, and district direction and focus area. During the 2018-2019 school year, there have been many accomplishments and highlights tied to our district directions. The board and superintendent closely monitor the progress of the district in all areas, but in particular around the six district directions and focus areas. To highlight a few standouts this year from the board's perspective, we have some comments. And Carrie Chen is not here, but this is what he wanted to say if he was here. As far as goal one, academic achievement for all, this is one of our longest goals, as it is the primary purpose of our work, to highlight two specific programs in our district, one being our newly formed dual immersion Chinese program hosted at Shellen Elementary. Our education service staff led this endeavor with specific recognition to Sylvia Rivas as well as the Shellen staff. We also wanted to note our Music for All program, also led by our education services department, including Dr. Maddie Zamora and Rebecca Rodriguez, as well as Brian Aquino and outstanding music teachers in grades 1 through 12, support staff with instrument distribution and program concerts. And Lynn Ebenkamp, would you like to say something?
My highlight has to do with the area of technology, and I want to thank all the staff that took part in this. But I highlight this area because we have really, seamlessly involved technology in our students' everyday life, even their life at home. And my fear when we first started the process that it would replace teaching, but it has not. It has enhanced what the teachers are able to do in the classroom, and I'm very proud of that.
David?
Okay. I'd just like to comment on the fiscal responsibility and the facilities. Our fiscal department, under the direction of Mr. Alex Flores, sitting over here, and Aubrey Craig, is Aubrey? Yeah, Aubrey's still there. And their staff are to be commended for their positive budget certifications by various audit teams, which reflects their fiduciary responsibilities and puts RUSD on solid footings. And also for treating our employees as caring people and not excess baggage. Thank you. And curb appeal, under the leadership of Mr. Alex Flores, Chris Fierro, and the full building services team, they have had led a beautification of our schools and district facilities with building enhancements, landscaping, fencing, and much more. RUSD facilities are shining stars, reflective of all their hard work. So thank you, Mr. Flores, and your staff for all you've done under fiscal responsibilities and facilities.
Go ahead.
Three.
Angelina or me?
Yeah, okay. Right there.
Are you ready?
Oh, I got it. Thank you.
Angelina?
Oh, I didn't have the names, but. Oh, I was not telling Julie I didn't what? Have names.
Okay, so mine is on communication and collaboration. And yes, I'm going to use the word of transparency because I believe that it does apply to our district. And I think that the proof of that was in Mr. Flores's budget presentation tonight. I think that the proof of that is also in the presentations that are made to our community, such as the California Healthy Youth Act workshops that we hosted. And I think that the proof of that is in our superintendent's reports each month at the board meetings when she highlights what's going on in our district and also notes any areas of concern that may be occurring at the time. I also want to say that our district's, the way our district is being promoted with all the awards that we're achieving, not just our school sites, but our students. So it's not just the brick and mortar that's getting an award, but our students and our staff that are getting awards. And the communication that has been in our community with our showcase, with our state of the schools, and with all of the other events that we have, including the one that will be launching soon, where we will be celebrating our students and our graduates and their achievements and their accomplishments.
Thank you. And goal number five was student and staff safety and wellness. As a district, we have placed a high level of importance and concentration on student and staff safety. This year, we have expanded our district safety personnel, strengthened our relationships with the law enforcement agencies that serve our district, supported the placement of school resources officers at our two comprehensive high schools, increased our emergency preparedness supplies, installed new lighting and cameras, as well as begun the first year of a two-year plan for enhanced staff training. This was an important and significant undertaking by many staff members. In particular, thank you to Alex Flores, Kurt Schattler, Phil George, Chris Ferrero, Ron Gray, and our administrative team members responsible for completing these endeavors. On number six, a goal, overall district accomplishments. In total, there have been so many accomplishments throughout this school year, far too many to mention this evening. However, I would be remiss if I did not highlight again Roland High School being selected as a 2019 California Distinguished School. On behalf of the Board of Education, I would like to thank our dedicated and hardworking employees for the many achievements this school year. As a board, we know that none of these accolades and accomplishments would not be possible without visionary leadership and our awesome employees. Okay, that was a great discussion. Any questions or other comments? And so that was the discussion, overall goals and district direction and focus areas. There's so many, and so we just wanted to highlight one or two of each of the goals. Okay, the next item is 7H. May I have a motion and a second to approve the extension and amendment to the contract of employment for the superintendent of schools, Dr. Julie Mitchell?
I move.
I am happy to second that motion.
Before taking final action on an employment agreement for a local agency executive, the board must state in public session, pursuant to Government Code Section 54953, Subdivision C3, the board provides this oral summary of the salary and or fringe benefit recommendation for the following local agency executive: Julie Mitchell, superintendent. Term of contract extension, 2 years, through June 30th, 2023. This agreement reflects the sunset and conclusion of the annual step advancement effective June 30th, 2021. May I have a motion? Oh, we already did that. Now any other discussion? Or I'm sorry, now we get to vote. Okay, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. You're welcome on behalf of the board. We're very happy. The next item is
5.1. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the extension and amendments to the contract of employment for the Assistant Superintendent Administrative Services, Mr. Alejandro Flores?
I'd be glad to make the motion on that one.
And I'll second.
Pursuant to Government Code Section 54953, Subdivision C3, the Board provides this oral summary of the salary and or fringe benefit recommendation for the following local agency executive: Alejandro Flores, Assistant Superintendent, Administrative Services. Term of contract extension, 2 years, through June 30th, 2023. Elements of compensation include an automobile mileage allocation of $250 per month and longevity increment as provided to other management employees as noted on the certificated DLT salary schedule. This agreement reflects the sunset and conclusion of the annual step advancement effective June 30th, 2021. Okay, let's vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 7J. May I have a motion and a second to approve the extension and amendments to the contract of employment for the Assistant Superintendent, Human Resources, Mr. Dennis Bixler?
I move.
I'm happy to second.
Everybody wants a second. Oh, my goodness. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54953, Subdivision C3, the Board provides this oral summary of the salary and or fringe benefit recommendation for the following local agency executive: Dennis Bixler, Assistant Superintendent, Human Resources. Term of contract extension, 2 years, through June 30th, 2023. Elements of compensation include an automobile mileage allocation of $250 per month and longevity increment as provided to other management employees as noted on the certificated DLT salary schedule. This agreement reflects the sunset and conclusion of the annual step advancement effective June 30th, 2021. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 7K. May I have a motion and a second to approve the extension and amendments to the contract of employment for the Assistant Superintendent, Education Services, Dr. Maddie Zamora?
I move.
Second.
Pursuant to Government Code Section 54953, Subdivision C3, the Board provides this oral summary of the salary and or fringe benefit recommendation for the following local agency executive: Maddie Zamora, Assistant Superintendent, Education Services. Term of contract extension, 1 year, through June 30th, 2022. Elements of compensation include an annual step advancement of not less than 3%, an automobile mileage allocation of $250 per month, and longevity increment as provided to other management employees as noted on the certificated DLT salary schedule. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
I missed getting to say second and I move by being president. I would have loved to do that for all four of you.
Okay. Let's see. Citizens bond. Oh, the next item is 7L. May I have a motion and a second to approve the committee's recommendation to reappoint Denise Jackman, Taxpayers Organization member, to the 2006-2012 Citizens Bond Oversight Committee for a 2-year term in compliance with the CBOC bylaws?
I move.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 7M. May I have a motion and a second to approve the adoption of the final SELPA local plan, including the annual budget and service plan for the 2019-2020 fiscal and or school year?
I move. I'm on a roll now.
Second.
I need a second. I'll second.
I second it.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. You second.
And all those in favor, any discussion or no? Okay.
I just want to thank the staff that put the SELPA plan together. I mean, that was an extensive document and a lot of work to do in a very short period of time. And I understand it was accepted and approved. And so I really want to thank the staff that put the extra energy in to do that.
Very nice. Okay. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Next on the agenda is pupil personnel. The next item is 8A. Do I have a motion to approve the expulsion of student number 181908 from all schools and programs of Roland Unified School District effective June 6, 2019, with referral to a county or alternative school outside of the district for placement in an educational program?
I make a motion.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Next is the consent calendar. We will approve all of the items in consent with the exception of any items pulled for separate discussion and action. May I have a motion and a second?
I make a motion.
I second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. We are now on to board member comments. We will start with Angelina this evening.
Just a couple of quick things. I just want to thank our personnel commission for hosting a fantastic classified luncheon again. It's always a highlight and a pleasure to serve lunch to our classified employees who work so hard behind the scenes for our district every day. I also want to acknowledge the La Puente Valley ROP law enforcement graduates. Ms. Friedman and I had the opportunity to attend their graduation a couple of weeks ago at Nogales High School, and it was just fabulous, and I can't say enough about the students nor the teachers. It was just an amazing event. I want to thank the district and Miriam Kim and Frank Chang and Maddie Zamora and everyone else who worked to host the Healthy Youth Kids Act community events. They were very informative and well attended, and I think that is just wonderful that our district is showing so much more transparency than others, and that we are really getting information out there to our community about these changes, and it was very, very much appreciated. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from individuals who attended, and they're just really super excited that we took the time to do that so that they could be informed. This morning, several of us had the opportunity to attend a senior graduation breakfast for the Santana students and see Mr. Malkin again in all his generosity, along with his wife, Terry Malkin, provide scholarships to students from Santana as they move on to pursue their next goals. And just congratulations to all of our graduates at Nogales, Roland, and Santana. And if I don't see all of you that are here, have a wonderful summer.
David?
I see Miss Laura Estrada out there. I'd like to thank you for your service. It hurts me that you're leaving. I've really enjoyed doing the food distribution each month with you. And this, a lot of the other activities, the safe community activities and everything else that you do, and wish you the best of luck in your new venture. And it's going to be hard to replace. So thank you for all your service. Also, this is my, despite that, my sadness, this is my favorite time of the year because we see the results of all the hard work of our students as demonstrated by the awards presented at our board meetings tonight. Congratulations to all the recipients. The Nogales High School Award Night that I attended. The Roland High School Award Night. The Santana High School Awards Breakfast this morning. The Avid Awards Night. And the Career Technical Education CTE Awards. Sometimes I feel so inadequate to speak during public comments at the board meetings after listening to our students speak at these events. Also, I'm honored. We had honored the staff of RUSD at the annual Employee of the Year recognition dinner and the classified employee luncheon. I attended the annual spring concert at Mount SAC and listened to the progress of our music students and was amazed by the progress from elementary school up through the high school on how they mastered their instruments. Yes, music for all is alive and well at RUSD. I now look forward to tomorrow, which is graduation day, when our students get their ultimate award, their promotion and diplomas, which open doors to jobs, continuing their education for advanced degrees, entering the military, or going to trade school. No matter which path they choose, RUSD has given them the foundation needed to put them on the path to success, and I wish them all good luck. Thank you.
Lynn?
Yes, this time of year is kind of bittersweet because we send our graduates away. Our kids that have spoken every month at our board meetings, we'll see new ones coming in next year. But I would like to thank the students who come here every month to speak to us and tell us about their schools. They're obviously very proud of what their campuses are doing. They tell us about the activities so we can attend when possible. And I also love the highlights of the schools when they come and tell about their schools and bring students. And we can see how these students can stand up in front of an audience and give reports about their school. Many of them don't even seem nervous. And I think that's a wonderful thing. That's a good trait to have as you grow up. I look forward to the graduations tomorrow. I'll be at Santana. And these graduates, the sky's the limit for them. This is a fabulous graduating class, lots of scholarships, a lot of kids going to college, several going to trade schools and careers. And as they walk across that stage tomorrow, I'll feel good that we've done our job on the school board, that we've allowed these kids to have an opportunity to choose in life what they would like it to be. Last but not least, Laurel, we will miss you. And you've done a wonderful job at your center, and sorry to say that you're going to be leaving us, but maybe better things are ahead of you. But come back and see us. To the board, if you're traveling this summer, staff, if you're traveling this summer, travel safely and come back to us, because we got a lot of work to do next year too. So thank you.
So I'm so happy that they mentioned you too, Laurel, because I don't know if we could do that. So now I get to go along and say thank you for everything you've done. Oh, my gosh, you're an amazing person. All your ideas, your goals, you just did it. So, yes, you'll be very hard to replace, and good luck in your new job, and we will miss you terribly. Okay, and thank you, everyone, for staying this long for the whole meeting. May was a really busy month. I took off a lot of events that I went to, but want to mention some. The Nogales High School and Roland High School Career Certification Program exit interviews. The students were so professional and confident during their interviews. They answered many questions, and they all said that senior seminar class has changed them. They used to be very shy, and now they're public speaking, and they're not nervous anymore. They seemed like they were already in the workforce. I was very impressed, and those students were really amazing. The Roland High School AVID Recognition Night, 7th year in a row, all AVID students were accepted to colleges. $1.5 million scholarships were given to these students. And then just what Angelina said about the Law Enforcement Explorer graduation at Nogales High School, these students gave up their Saturdays all school year for 6 hours every week. Such dedication. And the two teachers gave fantastic speeches. It was like me reliving my last day of school, and I had tears. It was like these teachers were amazing. And I'm happy to say they both are going to be next year working at Roland Unified. Okay, and then Yorbita had a college parade. And what was so special about this one was Nogales High School students were there to talk to the student body that graduated from Yorbita. And so many colleges were represented as they paraded around by individual classes and later chanted representing their college. The community day school, I did a visit, and the exit ceremony. These transition students are 18 to 22 years old. I was very impressed with this outstanding program.
There are 40 students enrolled. The four teachers and staff have so much enthusiasm and positive attitude. Many different life skills are taught daily. There is a daily living skills room. These students empty the boxes from our warehouse to be delivered to the teachers and schools. They work at all different places throughout our community, the Marriott Hotel, Ibarra's office, Blandford Noon Aid, and so many more. During their IEP meetings, parents are surprised what their child can do. When they turn 22 years old, they have an exit ceremony in June. The exit ceremony included nine students, which was outstanding and very touching. That was today, and I'm glad Miriam was there because she said, here, let me get you some tissue. And I'm like, what? And, of course, I needed the tissue. It was very touching. Those kids are going to make it in the world. It was very nice. And then for the first time, I can't remember when, but all five of us were at the Roland adult graduation, and it was so nice. It was really turned out very good. Roland High School Senior Awards. So many great awards were given out. Students donated 223 pints of blood. Special presidential awards were given to 153 students for receiving high scores on tests while maintaining a 3.0 to 4.0 GPA. And 51 students maintained high scores on tests and maintained a 4.0 plus GPA. 12 students scored very high on tests in two languages, receiving the Biliteracy Award. And 3 students received the Triliteracy Award. Unbelievable. In 3 languages to be so high in all of them. I visited Ibarra, the Read and Write program, which we learned about, and I visited a third grade classroom that uses the Read and Write program. All of our RSP classes use it also. A student in this class explained how it worked and how good it is. I saw so much writing throughout the classroom. They can check their writing after they say it. Some students I saw talk and then type several different times. It will read their spoken words back to them, highlighting words. One student had over 500 words in their writing. It is an amazing program. Thank you. I hope all of you have a restful, fun, and great summer vacation, those of you that have off time off. And we will need to return.
I didn't hardly have to say anything.
Really? Board meeting of the Roland Unified School District Board of Education.
Can I pause? We need to come back into open session.
Oh.
And so the time is 9:06.
Okay. The time is 9:06, and we just returned from closed session, and now we're in open session at 9:06.
Nothing to report out.
And may I have a motion and a second to adjourn the regular board meeting of the Roland Unified School District Board of Education?
I move.
I second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Meeting adjourned at 9:06 p.m. Thank you.
Boy, thank you. Good, you got practice now.